Congratulations on this event, TEU. Innovation is tough. It's always brave running conversations or symposiums or conferences with innovation in the title. A couple of years ago, in a previous job, I helped organise an innovation summit for Stephen Joyce. It was pretty good, I thought, but as people left the room, I heard them say, oh, I didn't really get that big new idea. A lot of people expect that when they come to innovation things. And in many jobs at many layers across our tertiary education sector, people feel the pressure to innovate. Significant inertia, right? It can be tough if you haven't had the big new idea yet, or you have had one but don't have the money or permission or risk tolerance or headroom to fail. And the biggest frustration and barrier to innovation can be when external influences like operational funding and accountability policies impede innovation by constraining incentives and behaviours into particular delivery models and silos or definitions of success. Coming from the industry training sector, our definition of success is the production and deployment of a skilled workforce, both the formation of skill and the application of skill, both in education and a labour market intervention. There will be people in this room tonight that fundamentally disagree that the purpose of tertiary education is to produce skilled workers, that education is bigger and wider and deeper than that. I entirely agree, education is not just about employment. But I also say that employment is always about education. And I think that the balanced view is that tertiary education is at least somewhat involved with skill formation that will eventually somehow be applied in the labour market. Even university professor is a job. I also think many of our students are increasingly utilitarian about their investments, since now we make them pay or get into a lot of debt to get one. It's, I think, pretty reasonable for them to expect a result out of their investment in this thing. And I've also been lucky to spend time working at the interface of schools and work, where the thing that strikes you is the great deal of convergence between what schools think they are doing and what employers say they want. But the language barriers between education and employers can fundamentally disrupt that transition. How our sector reports the proof of skill in ways that provide real cultural capital to our learners is something I think our sector is challenged by and ought to think about from government and institutions and workplaces. So if the question for the session is what does an innovative tertiary sector look like, I say we need to take a new look at an old idea, lifelong learning. I think it would be innovative enough to finally get serious about that idea. I predict that during the course of your event, several people will say that the world of work is changing, ad nauseum. But we also know that people spend 50 years or more these days in that changing thing, with various levels of precariousness. My fundamental worry with our present system is we focus the vast majority of attention and policy effort and financial resource into sticking tertiary education onto young people straight out of school. Even if the predictions about the pace of change in the workforce are half right, if that's our skills strategy, it will be wrong next week or next year, and certainly well before any of them retire, if such a thing still exists. We must become a sector that gets post-school education to people where they are throughout their working lives. The newfangled technology helps us with this, but fundamentally it's because a lot of the education and skills issues and challenges reside in our working population, not with the people who have the time and money and opportunity to engage in full-time education. The OECD's adult skills surveys last month tell us we're doing okay, more than okay in some areas. First in the world for formal workplace training, thank you very much. I wonder what the question was. But we still have a million or so working adults who struggle with everyday literacy. We can address this through education interventions in workplaces. Last week I was in Germany. I am already boring my staff with sentences that begin, well, in Germany. Now, lots of these people in this room will know either a little or a lot about Germany's dual training model and the fact that we would probably not be able or wise to replicate it. But there is something about their mindset that is definitely worth looking at. Frankly, German employers are puzzled with countries like ours, where employers look at the education system and say, when will you people send us the right number of perfectly skilled people to meet my needs right now? They know this will not work. They know that day will not arrive. Rather, there is a mutually respectful process between learning institutions, industry representatives and unions to develop a workforce that will drive its economy and society forward. It is not a reductive model of solely technical skills. Between the schools and the workplaces, there is skills formation that turns someone into a skilled professional of the sort that has a better chance of being able to self-determine. It also gives people jobs first, rather than having them stuck in the transition system. Here we expend the vast majority of the precious resource of tertiary education, sticking skills onto young people. Then we throw them at the labour market before many of them know how to work, because schools and courses can't actually teach you that. Then we hope they find a job, and then we hope that that job is actually something to do with what they studied. For that reason, my vision of tertiary education, innovative sector, sees tertiary education as a shared enterprise between workplaces and learning institutions that extends throughout people's working lives. There should be more work-integrated learning in further and higher education, and more permeability and co-construction between workplaces and tertiary education providers. But for this to happen, both those institutions and the employers have to think differently, and both have to move. How long have I got?
40 seconds.
My favourite story from Germany. Robert Bosch. Annual turnover, 70 million euros. That's 110 billion New Zealand dollars annual turnover. That's about two-thirds of their national GDP. Had 90 minutes with their training manager. They take on apprentices into technical, commercial and IT. I tell them, you guys are huge, but economies fluctuate. How do you know how many apprentices to take on in which area? He said, well, of course, yes. This is my German accent. We are an enormous company. We have very robust and sophisticated methodologies for doing this. So I pick up my pen because I'm finally going to get the answer to the question I've always wanted the answer to. And he says, we call it the thumb. Thank you.